FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 10/29/18, just slightly more than 2 months left to go to this year. What a year it has been. We'll do a recap in another month or so, well, close to the end of the year. As always, be a part of the show. Join the conversation. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, you know, we've talked about the power of the social media companies, of these companies that hold literally gigabytes of your personal data, supposedly to be protected from the world, not to be shared with governments unless there is a subpoena or a search warrant. And yet we know that breaches take place, that all sorts of things are going on. Right now, before Congress, there is an Internet Bill of Rights. And, well, Bill of Rights going to protect your data purportedly and protect your freedom of speech. Well, someone who's an expert on this topic, an attorney in New York, you're suing companies for these breaches, Chris Ayers, and the name of the law firm is Seeger Weiss. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, so we got this problem. There's breaches galore taking place. Your data is, who knows where your data is and where it's going to be. For all we know, there could be a server farm or multiple server farms in China, in Russia, in India, who the heck knows, that has all of your personal data. What is an Internet Bill of Rights going to do to address this issue?
Well, look, the tech industry has long operated nearly unfettered, aided by laws that have given made these major companies broad immunity and an open plane on which to operate. And the goal was to foster and encourage innovation. Tech companies have thrived in this regulation-free landscape, and it's worked. That's why we have the Googles, the Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, et cetera. As our lives in the U.S. economy have become more tied to the Internet, a lot of trust has been placed in just a few tech CEOs. And it's essential to provide Americans with basic protections online. One of the interesting facts here is that over 90% of American adults believe that consumers have lost control of how their personal information is being used and gathered. Facebook isn't a data company. Facebook isn't a social media network. It's a data company. Its users are not customers to serve. Its members are products to sell. Every decision made is a data decision. And what we've learned from episodes like the leak of Facebook users' data to Cambridge Analytica, last year's breach by Equifax, the Russian bots meddling in America's elections, it's amounted to a wake-up call that rules, they need to change. And while data breaches have become commonplace, it's not just the data breaches. It's the widespread commercial collection and dissemination of personal data that is that shapes the marketing model for the entire Fortune 1000.
Right.
And so these principles that we're talking about putting forth in Congress is legislation needs to happen, and legislation needs to happen now. And we're talking about protection of people's data, protection of people's identity, access to internet, and access to freedom of expression.
Gotcha. So look, this is a data breach has become an epidemic, whether it's foreign countries that are messing with our data or whether it is other companies. Europe seems to have taken the lead on this topic, haven't they, with the cookie warnings that you get and all that. The EU seems to be way ahead of the US. Is it going to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs, though?
No, yes, but you are correct. Right now, what we're seeing is new privacy rules coming out of Europe. The EU's General Data Protection Regulation legislation, which was came into effect on May 25th, it's an approach that requires that there be far more disclosure, and it really tries to restrict invasions of privacy. But you've not only seen it in the EU, but you've also seen that state legislatures are pushing the tech industry to the negotiating table, and that's with recent passage of California's robust privacy laws that pressures tech companies to consider federal privacy rules. And so you have back in 2012, you had Obama's administration that came forth with the 2012 Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights. And it was really a predecessor to what the Congress is now talking about moving forward within the next several years. And while that legislation failed, because we have the EU's privacy laws, we have California's privacy laws, the landscape has really changed, and we might be able to update these absurdly outdated laws that Congress has on the books.
Mm-hmm. So basically, progress is being made, but really, you're still, as Tim Cook said, with these social media platforms and these big corporations, it's like, you are the product. Your data is their product, and they use it in many, many different ways. What are the proper ways, Chris, that you think they should be allowed to use your data?
Well, everything should be done with full disclosure and transparency. Americans and citizens need to understand how their data is being used. So the first thing is transparency, to understand why the data is being collected, and what the data is going to be used for, who it's going to be provided to, what third parties may get their hands on this information. And that's really what you saw with the Cambridge Analytica situation with Facebook. It wasn't a traditional data breach. What it was that sometimes data that is shared legitimately with third parties in ways that consumers neither realize nor anticipate it. And so the idea is creating a set of principles that's going to be set forth in the legislation that provides for greater transparency in the collection practices, greater transparency in the and how the data is being used, and opt-in consent for data collection, meaning that that it's not just that a consumer needs to opt out, but they actually have to opt in so that they know who's going to get their data and how it's going to be used.
But companies have fought the concept of having to opt in tooth and nail, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, you see that a lot of these tech companies have fought rigorously in order to prevent the regulation in the space, because they've operated pretty much in a regulation-free zone for so long, and it's really thrived. And that's why we have these, just a few companies that have really monopolized the internet framework. But you have the circumstances in the EU, you have California that have really pushed these tech companies to the negotiating table. And as a result, they're much more willing to consider a federal legislation than ever before. And that's why I think that the 2012 Obama administration's Consumer Bill of Rights failed. There's a new opening in Congress now. Of course, what you had if you recall after the Cambridge Analytica fiasco, they called Mark Zuckerberg to come testify before Congress, and it was laughable. What you saw is that Facebook CEO started his testimony looking very worried, but after just a few minutes, he was looking very confident. And that's because many of the questions came from tech challenge senators who seem clueless about how Facebook
completely
makes its money and how the internet works.
Completely clueless. I mean, clueless doesn't even begin to explain it. But yet, look, when we looked at it and we saw there was a couple of senators who were kind of on the ball, but certainly their staff should have understood this, and it leads you to believe that the big social media companies, the big online companies own these senators, it seems, because nobody could have their head in the sand, especially when you talk about this censorship that's taking place on these platforms. Really disheartening to see the level of censorship that's occurring here.
Well, you have to make sure what the internet companies, a lot of the tech companies have done is they've seen that a lot of their platform had been misused by Russian bots, misused by a variety of organizations to achieve political means. And they put in forces to try to regulate that, to treat it more of a public forum, despite the fact that, you know, these are private entities. And while, you know, some may have a problem with a lot of that type of action, and maybe they shouldn't, and this is why Congress probably should put in a set of principles in place. Now, with respect to the censorship issue, sure, I mean, Facebook and these other entities are going to make mistakes, and they're going to have to, you know, work through this new frontier. The question is whether to allow, you know, various foreign and private entities to meddle with elections and meddle with what people are thinking. The reality is that, and it's an unfortunate reality, is that the majority of Americans are receiving their news and information from Facebook and other types of media rather than from trusted news sources. So it becomes a challenging problem that Congress is going to need to face.
Yeah, well, look, the way I look at it is this. You got a cell phone. If you get on there and you say stuff that Verizon doesn't like, all right, that they're personally opposed to, they don't have the right to shut you down and pull your phone number, all right? When you drop a package in FedEx, they don't have any right to ask your political views or to analyze them to decide whether or not they want to transport your package that absolutely positively has to be there overnight, okay? Even though they don't carry this legal status, really, they derive protections under federal law by not being able to be sued for libel, et cetera, if they're just repeating other people's news or other people's views. So there needs to be some way that turns them into a common carrier. Obviously, if there are people acting illegally on their sites, or there are people who inciting violence, or there's espionage taking place, yes, there needs to be a means of addressing it, but you can't allow them to superimpose their political views on the rest of the country because, like you said, the majority of people do get their news from the internet, and rightly or wrongly, there are a multitude of different outlets. And hey, look, when you see the scandals that have occurred in the so-called trusted outlets, Chris, you can't really say that one is better than the other. Yes, you don't want the internet being manipulated by foreign actors to influence elections, but you don't want it being manipulated by these companies either. Like, for instance, Google, where during the election, you do a search on Donald Trump and it picks up a picture of Satan, and you do a search on Hillary Clinton and you see her embracing Mother Teresa. I mean, that kind of stuff, does that have a place in our political discourse here, Chris?
You know, if Congress wants to get into that game, that's going to be a very challenging space to enter, regulating how these companies operate in the political setting and what views or viewpoints they allow on their platform. That's an entirely different ball of wax. I think what's important is for these tech companies is to make sure that consumers and make sure that Americans' data is protected, and make sure that they don't misuse that information, and make sure that if any information that per people's data that they put onto these and is collected by these companies is to make sure that they put in place a set of regulations that empowers regulators with real teeth to issue penalties, as well as pair those regulations and regulators with private rights of action, to allow Americans and citizens to take this matter to themselves, to the courts, to protect their data, protect their information from further misuse.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But, you know, even with all these things in place, can you trust a Google to do what you expect them to do? I mean, they've been caught any number of times doing a lot of bad acts, and maybe the real solution is to break these monopolies up. They become near monopolies, or certainly as close to an oligopoly as we have. So maybe it's better to just break them up in the first place and put in those protections.
Well, you certainly have some antitrust issues, and that's something that the regulators would can look into. Is, you know, when you see other competitors coming up, such as like the Instagrams and Snapchats, etc., and you see them getting eaten up by some of the big companies like Facebook or whatnot, and so you see that there's significant barriers to entry, so that the future Facebooks, etc., you may not be able to see them because the barriers to entry are growing and growing. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I think the main issue here is protection of consumers' information when they're using and accessing these forums.
Yeah. So it starts with the protection, but also, you know, the internet is the probably greatest force for political discourse of getting your views out there as well. So all of these things are somewhat intertwined. And hey, let's take a look at a company like Google. All right. So they say, we're not going to work on U.S. defense projects any longer. Our employees are vehemently opposed. We're opposed to it. No more. But then they're willing to work with China to censor speech and basically to have an electronic snitch system on those people who do searches that the government might not particularly like. So how do we, they're global companies, I guess is what I'm saying. So the concept of regulating a global company whose product isn't anything physical but is data, it becomes very difficult to regulate that, doesn't it?
Well, I'm going to have to claim ignorance as to the issues that you're discussing between the U.S. government versus the Chinese government. But I will say that these are, they're multinational companies. And so you have these tech companies that are huge multinational companies, and the multinational companies do what multinational companies do, is they serve their shareholders, and their idea is to serve profits to their shareholders. And that's why when people enter the Facebook world, the Google's world, the Amazon world, their information isn't being protected, and they're not serving their members. They're not serving their users. They're serving their shareholders, and they're using their information as trade. And so it's important to make sure you put a framework to protect the people's information and to create transparency. And most importantly, to arm the Americans with the power through private rights of action in order to take action against these companies when they do abuse their trust.
Totally agree with you. So, Chris, we want to find out more about you, read your work. Is there any particular place where we find your views?
Sure. You can look me up on my website at my law firm, SiegerWeiss.com, and you reach out to me.
All right. Excellent. Hey, any questions or comments on this really important topic? Remember, your data is you. You are your data. Perhaps we have a different view of life now in the internet age. Just send us an email to kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Chris, thanks so much for coming on.
Great. Thanks to be here.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.